Hello everyone, this is Michael Dunlop from Income Diary, and today I'm with Yannick Silva, who has been mentioned in dozens of our interviews and top lists and posts throughout the last 7 months we've had the site up. And it's great to have him here today, so I'd like to welcome you, Yannick.
Thanks, Michael. Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Okay, so Yannick's been mentioned for a good reason, and hopefully today we'll get to share some great advice from him. So I'll jump straight in with my first question, which is, a lot of my readers are starting off with their online business or blog or website, and so many of them are trying to put together their big idea. What I know you had your big idea. I mean, what advice would you give them to putting it together?
Well, there's two parts to it. One is I really think that your questions dictate your answers. And I literally, when I first got started online, I literally was kind of scoping out the scene. And this was back in '99, and I didn't even have an email address back then. And looking at some people that were selling information online and digitally delivered at that, I'm like, huh, that's interesting. I could probably do that. And I literally asked myself the question. How can I create a fully automatic website that makes me money while I sleep, is an incredible value for people, and is not just an ebook? And I'll explain why that was important in a moment. And so literally at 3 o'clock in the morning one night, I woke up and tapped my wife on the shoulder. I'm like, "Miss, miss, wake up, wake up. I got this great idea." And she's like, "Oh, please go back to bed." And I'm like, no, this is gonna be really good. And I jumped out of bed and took action. And so that was one of the key points, was jumping out of bed and taking action. And that's one of the things that I see so many people falling down on, is I think everyone has at least $1 million idea in their head, and they don't take that positive action to keep it going. And that first idea was a little site called Instant Sales Letters, and that has gone on now to be my first. That was my very first $1 million product, at $40 a clip. So we sold quite a bunch of those.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, and it actually kind of relates to what you mentioned before, Michael, was how the idea stage, and for young entrepreneurs and for those getting started. I'm a big believer in having that big idea, or having a big hook, which is a unique angle. So, like, remember in my question, I said it can't be an ebook. I wanted to differentiate what I was doing from other things out there in the marketplace at that point. So Instant Sales Letters was a series of downloadable templates that people could use. And the technology behind this is pretty damn crude right now, and probably should update it, but I haven't touched it in probably 5 or 6 years. But the big idea of that was something that I call it a fish product. And everyone has heard this saying of you hand a man a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach a man to fish, you feed him for life. Well, that's kind of bullshit. People want the fish handed to them. And you walk into a restaurant, you don't want to go out back and go fishing for your dinner in most cases. You want it prepared really nicely by the chef. And so that was what Instant Sales Letters did. And my wife even had a little bit of success kind of knocking me off with instant thank you letters. And so, but anytime you can give people a fish product, so I always think about, okay, what can you do to make it push button simple for people? How do you give them something on a silver platter? I mean, look at even like WordPress. I mean, that really took off. I had the good fortune of meeting Matt down in the British Virgin Islands, actually with your dad. WordPress, I think what makes it so great, I mean, there's a lot of things, but part of it is that it's so damn simple, and it's like the fish product. It's handing it to them on a silver platter for content management. So there's a lot of those out there, and I've had good success with that. And then the other really big point of the big idea is I always think about, how can I go the opposite direction? And so I look at things like my underground online seminar is a good example of that. And you're going to be coming on to run this young entrepreneur modal day that we're setting up for this next one. But that stemmed out of me thinking about, okay, what's in the marketplace right now? And this was 5 years ago. I'm like, okay, there's a lot of internet seminars. and there's a lot of people doing it the exact same way, all the pretty much the same speakers. So I thought, okay, to really differentiate, let's go with really unknown speakers who are making a whole lot of money online, making millions of dollars, but are doing it very quietly and most people never heard of. And that was how the Underground was born. So those are just two ways of coming up with a big idea.
That's great advice, Yannick. I'm sure everyone could take something away from that. Even myself, the last mastermind you had, my dad brought me along, and I took away the idea of done for you, which is sort of the same sort of principles, like, you know, give it to them done instead of teaching them how to do it.
Yeah, some people are do-it-yourselfers, and then a lot of us are kind of lazy, and it's not lazy in a bad way, but we're all so busy, and it. You know, it all stems that done for you and the give it to them on a silver platter. It all stems through kind of everything that I try and do, everything from when we get our affiliates to help promote our products. You know, you want to provide your affiliates with all the tools that they need to do it, all the pre-done emails if possible and banners and so forth, so they don't have to think about it too much.
Yeah, exactly. And that's probably touching on my next question. You mentioned that you were selling instant sales letters for just $40, but like loads of my readers, you know, selling from $20 to $100, but to sell over $1 million worth, you must have sold a lot. So what sort of tools or resources, or what was the idea that you used to sell so much?
I think that, you know, the biggest thing is partially what we covered is it had a good hook to it. And so it got people excited. They could, as soon as they got to the site or even heard the URL, they kind of got what it was. And then, to get the ball rolling, I've really based a lot of my business on affiliate marketing where we get other people to promote our products, drive traffic to our site. And, right now we have about 40 some thousand affiliates, and it sounds impressive, but the reality of affiliate marketing is that a tiny percentage, it's not even like the 80-20 rule, the Pareto principle, it's more like the 97-3 rule or the 98-2 rule. you know, about 2% are driving 98% of your sales and traffic. And I mean, this is a total aside, but I ran an affiliate program for one of my friends at one point, and we had 150 affiliates only, and we drove about $4 million in sales from those affiliates in 1 year. So you don't need a ton to do this right. But affiliate marketing has always been one of my go-to kind of arsenal weapons of choice because of the low risk involved, because of the fact that I only have to pay my affiliates once somebody that they've referred has made a sale. And so the very first thing that I did, and it's so simple and you can still do it today, is I started thinking about, okay, well, where are my existing customers already? And at that point, I went to Alta Vista, which, you know, I don't even know if it's still around. Probably no one goes there. So obviously go to Google today and, you know, maybe a couple of other search engines. But just type in a couple of your keyword phrases and see who else is coming up on top. So who's in the top 10? So I typed in sales letters, and I would see, okay, you know, one of the top ones was like a university. They're not going to promote for me, obviously, or it'd be pretty hard to get them to promote for me. And then, you know, so I went through the list of the top 10, top 20 sites, and obviously those top 10, top 20 had the traffic that I was looking for. And so I just contacted them in a very personal way, not in a spammy sort of way. And just said, hey, you know, I'm Yannick Silver. I created this thing called Instant Sales Letters. I think, the visitors coming to your site might be interested in this. If you want to come, go check it out. Here's a password for it. And, you know, I think I got like one or two of those people to respond and say, yeah, okay. And then they promoted it. And then what I did was kind of like a Chinese water torture where we just kept, following up on the rest of those. top prospects with the results from the guys who promoted it. And so I just kept them posted, hey, you know, so-and-so just promoted this and they made this. And I think I got about 40% of my top 20 people to sign up as affiliates pretty quickly. And from there, it just kind of grew where we advertised it a little bit. We still do some pay-per-click advertising, but, you know, to tell you the truth, the affiliate program, the affiliate network, is probably the biggest thing that, that really runs it. Articles that I've done have helped, but the affiliate program, that, that definitely helps run it.
All right, great advice, Yannick. So you have got more than just one product, and you've got dozens of products, services, and events now, and you've got hundreds of thousands of people following what you're doing and contacting you. How do you sort of keep up with all of this? I mean, what advice would you give to other entrepreneurs with a lot on their plates right now?
I don't know. It's you know, you got to figure out where your breaking point sort of is. I mean, I love having multiple things on the go, and for some people, they like having one thing. Tell you the truth, I mean, the instant sales letter. So that was my very first thing. And the funny thing is, that's probably the most entrenched thing that I did, because I focused solely on that and built that up and have a good foundation around it. And then the other things kind of came as a creative byproduct of instant sales letters. I mean, within 4 months, I was on track to do six figures a year. And that's when people started asking me, hey, how did you do this? And can you teach me how to do the same thing? And that's how I started creating internet marketing related products based on what I've done. And so that was all just this weird, you know, side byproduct. I mean, my original goal was to sell instant sales letters for $500,000 to like stamps.com or something like that. But I wouldn't do that today for just because it's a great engine that drives a lot of the other things that we're doing. So balancing the multiple projects, it's I try and focus in on what I'm really good at. And I've taken a lot of different self-assessment tests throughout the years. And I think any kind of time that you spend learning about yourself, learning about your strengths, learning about where you fall down, what you suck at, is all really good time that's proactive. I've literally done everything from like a 2-day test at the Johnson O'Connor Human Engineering Institute, which is, I think they have locations all around the U.S. So they probably have some internationally too, to things like now Discover Your Strengths, Kolbe Profiling, which is a really good test, which is online, which is KOLBE.com, created by a woman named Kathy Kolbe, which is your connotative ability, which is like your natural inclination of how you work. And I found that really fascinating. And, you know, for me, my number, which won't mean anything to you right now, but it's a 2-4-10-2. But the 10 is the area called quick start, which means how quickly do I initiate a project without knowing what the hell I'm doing? And so a lot of entrepreneurs are behind that quick start. And just knowing a lot of these things about yourself helps you to realize what you're really good at, what gives you passion. And for me, it's definitely the ideas, it's the startup phase, it's the it's coming up with the big hook, the big ideas. And a lot of entrepreneurs are like that, and you gotta sometimes partner up with somebody who's the opposite. I mean, I just hired a VP of operations, and he's the guy that not only he's the guy who's I'm in charge of figuring out where we're going and the vision and the big ideas, and then he's in charge of how are we gonna get there. And I've found that throughout the years that I've done this, it's been really helpful of me bringing my strengths to the table and then having a partner in a lot of cases who has different strengths. It's not there's not a real when you have a lot of people in business or want to go in business, bring a partner in for the wrong reasons. They bring them in for camaraderie, for just, you know, having a somebody to commiserate with, someone to whatever, maybe your best buddies with them, but that's not always the best reason to do it. I think it's a good time to bring them in if they complement your strengths. So they're, you know, whatever you're weak at is where their strengths are, hopefully.
No, it's that spot on. I've recently got somebody working with myself, and I did it for exactly those reasons, and it's helped my business so much. It's great. Okay, so as you mentioned, you've got so many different things going on. Like you have your physical book, e-books. You run seminars. You got your physical newsletter, mastermind trips, and so on. What is your favorite business model and why?
You say favorite business model or business?
Business model. So yeah. Which one of them? Which?
It's kind of weird. Like, I would have answered this probably differently 2 years ago. Even maybe it's, yeah, probably 2 years ago. And I still love this business model. I think it's probably one of the best for people that want to break into doing something on their own and want to create a really nice lifestyle business and want to create really incredible income. And it's a foundation for a lot of things that I teach is around information marketing. I'm such a big believer in having these high margins, low cost to produce products, whether it is an ebook or a membership site or a home study course or even a series of webinars or an event. I think that so many of us can create info products and do really well with them. And that's like one of the easiest, most lucrative, kind of most fulfilling business models that you can come up with, because you get to impact other people. And it's everything. I've worked with students from, one of my favorites is this college kid that came to me and he knew how to take engines out of a Honda Accord and put it into a Honda Civic because they share the same engine structure or something like that. And he put it out on a CD-ROM, and after I worked with him for a little bit, he did $100,000 a year selling that information to other mostly kids that wanted to mod their Hondas. And his mom accused him of selling drugs out of his dorm room. So much money, So I got a good laugh out of that, and I enjoyed that. So that's just one example of selling information. And I think we have students doing everything from potty training to guitar lessons to financial related things. And I love that model. And even if you don't think you're an expert at something, I've taught repeatedly about taking public domain information. So information that has fallen out of copyright for whatever reason, and just using that, we have stuff that we created about houseplants that sells, and about for artists how to draw people better. So we've done little projects like that just to show people how easy it is. You even become almost like a publisher, and like what you and I are doing right now, Michael. You're interviewing me, and there's no reason that if you picked out a marketplace, like let's say it's even, training parrots how to do tricks or something like that. You talk to a vet, you talk to, an animal trainer, and you just have a couple of interviews and you package them up into a little course that teaches how to train their parrots or whatever marketplace you decide. So I love information, and I think even there's so many multiple ways of delivering it now that it gets really exciting, whether it's via all the way up to iPhone to the most simplistic, which is, a regular book, which so many people are familiar with, and delivering via Kindle, delivering via an online membership site. I mean, there's just a ton of ways of doing that now. So like I said, that would have been my answer 2 years ago, and I still love that business model. I've evolved, I think, as an entrepreneur, and part of what I really glean and really get attracted to is passionate projects. So not only should there be a good, solid business model or margin to it, but I think it should be something that hopefully gets you excited, that you can have fun with, and that just really revs you up.
Wicked. I completely agree with that as well. So that sort of leads me to my next question, actually. You're well known for the internet lifestyle, and I guess that's sort of what you were just talking about. Could you give us some reason? What's your favorite thing about the internet lifestyle?
For me, the internet lifestyle, I'll just define it really fast. For me, it means fun, freedom, financial independence, funded by the internet, and a lot of F's in there. we call it the F-bomb, internet lifestyle. For me, my favorite thing is what the internet gives. I mean, it's truly like this amazing golden opportunity right now, this golden age where literally for a couple bucks, a semi-decent idea, and some gumption and a domain name, you can get started and see what happens. And the coolest part is we can just grab our laptops, I mean, and go and run our business from just about anywhere via Skype, via instant message, via, you know, Gmail, whatever the case is. And that to me is the coolest part, and figuring out that it's not just about making money to make money and to keep accumulating more and more money, but there has to be something bigger. I mean, there's got to be a balance to your entrepreneurship and to your whole life, really. I mean, that's where the fun part kicks in. And, you know, we can definitely talk about that for a while, but on internetlifestyle.com, which is my blog, I have a whole running list of kind of my ultimate big life list and some of the things that I want to accomplish. And so that keeps me motivated beyond any sort of monetary thing. And just, the freedom, I think that's probably the biggest driver for entrepreneurs. If you're going to kind of get down to what is the essence of entrepreneurship, in a lot of cases, it was the freedom that drives them. And you don't want to get in a situation where you lose sight of that and your business really becomes a job for you. And it's definitely a constant process of being vigilant, because, you know, for me, I can keep taking on more and more new projects and I'll never leave my office, even though my office is out of my house. But still, you gotta have that balance and create that fun and the freedom for you. And then, another element that I kind of just added, like I said, I've been evolving as an entrepreneur, and I have this notion of, not just making more money, not just having more fun, but now it's about giving more back. So combining all those together, I think, becomes an optimal business bliss.
All right, great. And is this sort of the reason why you launched Maverick Business Adventures, or what did inspire you to create that business?
Yeah, partially that. It was partially around this idea of, I kind of, you know, was getting a little bit burnt out around just the internet marketing thing that I was doing, and it wasn't totally fulfilling to me. And I made a list of all the things that I would love to have in an ideal business. And it was things like adventure, unique experiences, hanging out with really smart entrepreneurs, brainstorming, helping the next generation of young entrepreneurs and philanthropy and giving back and having an impact. And so that was the impetus for Maverick Business Adventures that has really, kind of taken, I don't know where it's going to lead to, but I got some pretty big ideas for it with, not just this high level group of entrepreneurs that are $1 million plus businesses, but hopefully expanding to a whole series of groups. I mean, my ultimate goal by 2020 is to have a million young entrepreneurs ages 13 to 23 start their own businesses, and based on mentorship, blueprints, success strategies and secrets that a lot of the Maverick members would be sharing and creating that platform for the next generation.
Which, I mean, everything there just sounded so great to me as well. I mean, I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, it's hard to sort of talk about business to normal people. So
yeah.
Maverick Business Adventure sounds like a great opportunity for everyone to sort of connect on a better level.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely pretty, I mean, at the highest level, it's everything from hanging out at Sir Richard Branson's island and doing all sorts of cool activities and plus raising a lot of money for his charity. To, you know, like next year we're going to South Africa, and I think your dad's coming, I can't remember.
Yeah, he's psyched.
Yeah, that's going to be a great trip, where we're going to the finals of the World Cup and the semifinals and cage diving with sharks and going on safari. And at the same time, while we're there, we're teaching at the Branson School of Entrepreneurship, with some of the kids that we've actually already been mentoring with. So it combines, you know, those three things, those elements that I've always loved throughout my life. And now I just have a holder for all of them in one place.
Great. And, like I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, you are the most mentioned person on this site. You come up all the time. Why do you think you've come across so well on the internet? Is it because you just provide the best value, or what do you think is the best way to be seen as the best? I think I just answered that myself, but.
Well, I definitely appreciate that. I mean, it's really humbling and it's great. It's just because I got a unique name, I think.
We know that's not the case.
It's, part of it is definitely around what I've attempted to be really conscientious about. And one of the things that I got in my planner that I used to look at every single day, and I look at it still every so often, was these values that I set for myself. And literally, I'm going to look it up right now, and October 6, 1998, and that was like when I felt like I was first getting on this really big upward trajectory. And one of the big things that I wrote there was, I am rich by enriching others 10 times to 100 times what they pay me in return. And I think that's a big element of what I really, really, really try and focus on, whether it's a product for $40 like this in sales letters. I want to make sure that someone gets at least $400 to $4,000 in value in return, to, you know, our mastermind group, which is $20,000. So I want to make sure that people get a tremendous ROI, and I'm always attempting to do that, always looking for ways that we can add value, we can provide, you know, some unexpected bonuses. Just really having that intention out there, I think helps a lot.
Well, that's really powerful stuff. I'm not surprised you do so well after hearing that. So we have a lot of different aged people on this site, but in particular, we have quite a lot of young entrepreneurs. I thought we'd just quickly mention, you're obviously doing a pre-date to your underground event this year. I think it's in March. And what would you say to any young entrepreneur out there who is starting an online business right now?
I would tell them, congratulations, because I think it's one of the most exciting things that you could do, and I'm really excited about, you know, recent statistics that I've seen that say that kids coming out of high school, it's about 70% now want to start their own business or do their own thing, and it used to be only maybe about 20 years ago the statistics were completely opposite, where 70% wanted to get a job and work for a big company and have that security. And I don't think that there's any security in that. I think the security in your life comes from having the self-assurance and the knowledge of knowing that you can literally start from nothing and create something incredibly valuable that, you know, essentially that you create cash on demand, you create money, value, pretty much whatever you want. And it's, I would tell, there's a couple other pieces of advice that I'd like to share on that is, a lot of times there's thinking around, okay, well, if I need a lot of money to start this business, and that's all bullshit. You don't need a lot of money. So every Maverick trip that we go on, or at least the bigger multi-day ones, we spend time with a group of young kids, in every location. And I remember this pretty vividly from this last one that we did in San Francisco. And we had, I don't know, maybe like 40 kids there or something. And I had a panel of the Maverick members up there. And I love asking them, how much money did you start your business with? Because it's always revealing. And a lot of them were like, you know, Tim Houston from Philly Lifestyle, he spent $5. And that was cool. Some of the guys are a couple hundred dollars. One guy, who trains fitness trainers. He has a multi-million dollar business now, but his very first business that he started with something like, I think he told me either $200,000 or $300,000. And that was the one that failed. The one that succeeded was the one that started with a couple hundred dollars. And having a so-called lack of capital, I think, forces you to get creative. It forces you not to just throw money at a problem. And because you're always going to have either an excess of time or an excess of money. And it's that's where the creativity comes from, and coming up with unique ways to market what you're doing, and, you know, use, use the natural kind of gifts that you got. The media is definitely fascinated by young entrepreneurship. So use the media to your advantage, and that's all free. Everyone has grown up with all sorts of connection points around Facebook and Twitter now and you know, a bunch of other social media sites. Use those to your advantage to build your marketplace up. So start, you know, just start. That's probably the biggest thing, and just get into motion and start thinking about what's the best use of my time. And I would also, you know, I definitely would stress something that I did really early on was learn about direct response marketing. And that's what I think when you break it all down is what the internet comes down to. And so I would study, like, from 100 years ago, all the best mail order practitioners, because, you know, what we're really trying to do is in some way, shape or form influence people's actions, whether it's a click, whether it's to get them to buy, just through the computer screen. And now we have a lot of different tools at our disposal, from video to live messaging and SMS or all sorts of stuff. But back then, 100 years ago, you know, people had to walk down to their mailbox or their local mail post and place that order. And it was pretty hard to get them to do that. So if you can learn and study what psychology went into that, you can apply that, and not in a deceptive way, not in a way that's used for evil, but in a way that gets people to, you know, gets them to see that your product or service is a real benefit to them, and you got to have that. There's elements of persuasion there in a good way. And one of my favorite books that I've read 9 times on that is by a guy named Robert Cialdini. It's called Influence: The Psychology of Persuasion.
Brilliant. Top advice, Yannick. I actually been looking into that myself, so cool. If you could go back in a time machine, if it was possible, what would you do differently?
That is a good question. You know, the funny thing is, I've asked this question of a lot of people too, like when I interview them, and I always cringe when I answer this, because it comes out the same way as so many other people's answers that I've asked this to. And I wouldn't change too much, because I really think I think we all develop at the right time, and we, it's, you know, what is that saying? Like when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, or something like that. It's, you know, I think you have to go through certain things to kind of come into your own. So I wouldn't really change too much. I mean, you know, maybe I would have got started with having more continuity in my business quicker. So that means some sort of the month kind of thing, whether it's a newsletter or a membership site or, you know, something that, so we know every single month in, month out, that there's X amount of income coming in. I probably would have got smarter around testing prices sooner. All the things where, you know, you realize that you're leaving money on the table when you're looking back at what you've done, you know, selling a bunch of those instant sales letters. We had an upsell originally very, very quickly, but we, you know, we never added any sort of continuity to it or anything like that. I don't know. I mean, I definitely think that everything develops in the right time. So I don't think I would change too much.
Yeah, cool. I mean, about 90% probably of people I interview, they sort of look at it the same way, you know, they like the way, the route they've taken, because they've learned from everything they've done wrong. And if they didn't have the opportunity to do things wrong, then they probably wouldn't have learned the lessons.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool. I got a few quick fire questions here for you to end the interview. What do you like most about the internet?
I mean, I love so much about it. I love the way that you can literally come up with an idea at 3 o'clock in the morning, and depending on how fast you are, what kind of skills you got, or what kind of skills you got on your team, that within a day or at most a couple of weeks, you can have something out there and see what happens. I mean, you get that instant feedback. That's what's so exciting. You get instant feedback around an email that you send, or a Twitter, or you know, whatever, and that's exciting to me.
Wicked. And what do you like least about the internet?
I think what I like least about it is that it's too easy to get wrapped up and sidetracked in 100 different weird random things that makes you think like you're doing something productive, but you're really not.
Twitter.
Well, possibly, yeah. If you're in there for a strategic reason or, you know, like the other day I connected with the CMO of Kodak on Twitter. So that was a strategic thing that I wanted to do and go in there and set up this interview, and it happened. But, you know, if you're in there just kind of socializing, and unless you got a plan for that, that's fine. But, you know, it's too easy to get sucked into your screen 24/7.
Cool. And who do you look up to? Who's your role model for your business?
As trite as it sounds, Sir Richard Branson is definitely my role model. I've been really fortunate to have the opportunity to hang out with him a couple times now, and he's one of the few kind of role models and mentors that I've met that once I've met them, I've been even more inspired by him.
That's always good.
Yeah. And he, I just love the fact that he's not afraid to put himself out there. He runs multiple, like, I think there's like 300 some, virgin companies out there. That's really inspiring to me because as an entrepreneur with ADD, I haven't been diagnosed with it, but I'm sure I got it. And, you know, I love that aspect of it. I love the way that he's created. He's just sort of, he's imprinted his DNA on the companies. It's that bit of a, you know, that cheeky sort of behavior, if I can steal a British term. And, he lives his life. I mean, he's adventurous. The guy has, gone around, trying to go around the world in a hot air balloon. He's crossed the Atlantic and in a bunch of different things, random boats and trying to set all sorts of records. And he lives his life adventurously. He totally lives his life. And that to me is a big, big inspiring point is, there's a lot of very wealthy, rich entrepreneurs that are just, I don't know, they just seem pretty damn boring.
Yeah, well, they say life is an adventure, so go live.
Yeah, it is a big one.
Yeah, wicked. And what is the best advice you've ever been given?
Oh, wow. You know what? It's not something that I've been given directly, but I feel like I have mentors in print and audio and other things that I've studied, and one of them for sure is a guy named Earl Nightingale. And Earl, you know, for your listeners, get a program called either Leave the Field is the most popular one, though I really like The Strangest Secret. And so I've studied a lot of his stuff, even like really random, obscure stuff. And one thing that I really took to heart from him was if you want to become an expert in any subject, you just read or study for 1 hour a day on that subject material for 3 years. If you want to become a world-class expert, you read or study for 1 hour a day for 5 years. And this was in my formative kind of entrepreneurial years where I think I was about 18 when I just really got impacted by learning as much as I could about direct response marketing. And I learned what Earl Nightingale was talking about. And I said, well, you know, what would happen if you study for 2 hours a day or 3 hours a day or you know, whatever the case was. And I just really ramped up, I think, my success.
Cool. All right. So thanks very much for being here today, Yannick, taking some great advice away from me. Is there anything, last things you'd like to tell us, any personal business plans you have, or would you like to quickly mention the underground?
I'll mention the underground since you're gonna be facilitating and running that Young Mogul Day that we're doing that pre day. It's March 12th to 14th, 2010 in DC. And that Young Mogul Day is March 11th. And that's gonna be really exciting and we'll be releasing that soon. I'm sure you'll hear about it from you. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have we got a lot of great big plans in place for this notion of, like I mentioned, the 1 million young entrepreneurs getting started. And it's going to be part of an association that we're going to be calling the Maverick 1 million Association. So it'll be at maverick1million.org. So look for something there pretty soon.
All right. Thanks very much, Yannick.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it.